Ah, yes. Taylor Phillips taking us home. Rangers wrap up with Taylor Phillips Saturday afternoons. Please tune in. This is the Pro Shop Golf Show on ESPN Radio 103.3 FM. Brady Tinker, Courtney Connell, Tim Cusick, top 100 teacher. And this is our segment from the tips. But before we get to that, we have three topics to brush over very quickly, please, gentlemen.
I got to give a kudo out to one of our shop dogs, loyal listener, Jeff Fry, one of my favorite second basemen from Texas Rangers, now doing broadcasting.
Player.
Very good player. Played a little bit for the Red Sox as well.
I bet he's a decent golfer.
He's a very good golfer.
I would imagine.
A nice little 29 on the back nine a few days ago at Ridgely. Fort Worth.
Hello.
Way to go, Fry Daddy.
He can putt.
Absolutely.
You ain't shooting 29 if you can't putt.
Be sure you turn that scorecard in for your handicap.
Yeah, turn it in.
There you go.
Turn it in. Plus three is going to kill you when we meet.
There's another small tournament going on up at Lake Tahoe this weekend.
What's Rome's doing?
The American Century Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Got 89 celebrities / athletes up there playing in a Stableford system, point system. And our number nine Dallas Cowboys former quarterback Tony Romo is leading the charge. Defending champion is at 51 points. He's a distant 9 points ahead of former Major League pitcher.
Break down the point system for people who are saying 9 points. Sounds like a ton.
You get points for pars, birdies, eagles, and bogeys.
Yeah, you get a point for a bogey.
And anything less than a bogey, you get nothing. And you get better points as you make better scores. So you're going to get probably 2 to 3 points for a par. You get 4 points for a birdie. And you probably get
six or eight for an eagle. Yeah, and the cool thing is there's no negative. So if you hit it in the ocean and you made double, it doesn't make any difference. It's all positive, which makes everybody stuck.
So Romo's got 51 points. Derek Lowe's got 42, tied with Marty Fish. Former tennis player has got 42. One funny thing is that Steph Curry is a good golfer. He's played in some tour events, web.com events. He has 30 points. His dad, Del Curry, is whipping his butt with 33
Those
points.
Those great athletes with great hands,
How
man.
How about that?
They can play. But I am surprised about that. Now, yeah, I'm sure you're happy that Rome's is winning, and I'm definitely rooting for him. The truth is, while there might be 80 or 100 people in this tournament, only about 10 should be able to beat him. So
maybe.
So when you break it down like that, it is good that he's winning. He's doing it under pressure on TV with all kinds of adoring fans around, throwing footballs and signing autographs. So pretty cool. Another step in his progression to becoming a pretty good golfer. He's only 40. Yeah. 10 years?
Yeah.
Well, can he make some money on the senior
tour
in 10
years?
He's
an athlete. He stays in good shape. He's got a work ethic second to none and
a
passion.
He's got two things that have to happen. His back has to hold up, and he's got to putt better.
Yes. True story.
I saw the green in his backyard where he spends 4 or 5 hours a day chipping. His wife told me as she's rolling her eyes back in her head. He's a competitive SOB. Okay, what are we doing from the tips one more time, please? Top 100 teacher Tim Cusing?
So from the tips is going to be when you set up to the golf ball, most everyone has the ball in the center of the club face at address, but not everybody returns to the center of the club face when they make contact, when they make impact. And oftentimes they return out to the toe. So if you picture the ball being in the center at address, but moving towards the toe at impact, you've got four reasons, why you would have a tendency to hit on the toe. Number one.
Ding. Go ahead. Number one.
Number one, you're standing too far from the ball to start with. That's a very logical one, but you're too far from the golf ball. Number two.
Ding.
Your club is moving on too upright of a plane. Straight up and down instead of around behind you and over your shoulder.
That one, when it, that's where I get to the top.
When it moves too straight up and down, you're going to have a tendency to swing inside the golf ball.
Guilty as charged.
Number three. Too. Where's the ding?
Ding. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
I didn't tell you I was good at this.
Hey, it's a low budget show. Come
I
on.
Got bored after two dings. All right, I'll give you a
come
third.
Come on, you ding dong.
Give
him
a ding.
Ding.
Go ahead.
He
ding.
Held me out to dry. Number three. If you start with the ball in the center of the club face, but some part of your body is pulling up and back. You're going to move to the inside of the golf ball. You're going to hit it off the toe. And number four.
Ding.
We got to practice this. Number four, your club's lie is too flat.
Oop.
And what I mean by that is if you went and put a piece of tape on the bottom sole of your club and you found maybe a piece of plastic, a board, whatever, and you made a practice swing and you scuff the board, The mark is going to be more towards the toe of the club. That means the club lie is too flat. You got to go see a club fitter, get the toe of the club, get the hosel bent a little more upright, bent towards you. It's going to move the hit more from the toe to the center
of
the club face.
How expensive an adjustment is that?
It should be free of charge, to be honest with you, if you're just walking by. But if you go to a club fitting, it's going to cost you somewhere between $50 and $100.
Total. Okay.
Well, but worth it. Well worth, worth it, too, because it'll make a huge difference.
But there is one good thing about being on the toe. Mm-hmm. It's far better than being on the hosel. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You were mentioning, you know, backing up on your way through the ball. I was playing around a golf with my former co-host, Joel Edwards, and my kid got on the hosel. And Joel pulled him aside as they went as we went to the ninth green, because right off to the right was the driving range, and he whispered something in his ear. Jake ran over there and hit 10 balls, came back, and flushed the ball the rest of the round. I said, what did he tell you? He said, on the way down, lean, get your weight to your heels, because he was going forward. He was taking that hosel and that club to the ball, so we wouldn't tell anybody to take their weight to their heels. But if you're hitting it on the hosel, either quit or hit it on the toe.
Oftentimes, if you
little fine tuning,
zero in on your mistake and you try and do the opposite, you'll sometimes fall right in the middle.
The 148th Open Championship will commence on Thursday. We know that Rory is the favorite for whatever reason. He's from Ireland. He shot, what did he shoot there?
61 as a teenager, course record.
How old was he?
I don't know. I mean, he was a teenager.
I think he was 16.
Was that 16, I think, yes.
Just.
Of course, it'll
marinate
play
on that for a minute. Yeah, he was 16 and set the course record with 61.
Yeah, and he's tapping the brakes on that a little bit, reminding everyone that, you know, in these Open Championships, the golf course is set up dramatically different. But regardless, I don't think he should any way at all discount that in his experience and being there as a home game. I do know that the players privately sometimes say a home game is tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
more
tough
people,
with the
more tickets,
you know, distractions and interruptions and that sort of thing.
And he's had a struggle with that when he's gone back to playing the Irish Open. He's missed a couple cuts when he is the host as well. Courtney, I fully agree with you there. So he hasn't in the past handled it great. Let's hope, for golf's sake, that he does a little bit better.
Well, according to the interview yesterday with Damon Hack, and Damon said that he really seems like right now he's in a good place. He's hitting on all cylinders. All areas of his game are in good shape. So at least he's prepared, and that's a huge thing going into something like this. If you feel good about your preparation, you feel good where you are, there's nothing wrong with positive vibes at all going into something like this.
I'm sure Damon is fine at his job. That's a tough name for being in the golf
oh,
world.
Oh, man, it
Damon
is.
Damon Hack.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What do you got, Tim?
So we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the inductions that were named a couple days ago for the Texas Golf Hall of Fame.
Love
the 2019 edition. They have different categories. In the player category, you have Jimmy Walker from San Antonio, very, very good player on the PGA Tour. He has been named to the Texas Hall of Fame, went to Baylor University. And then in the teacher/club professional category, Cameron Doan, the head professional director of golf over at Preston Trail, was the Bill Strasbaugh National PGA winner last year in the in that category. And then in the contributor category, the one and only, the best, Finn Ewing. Finn Ewing.
This
senior.
Is really going to be great. This ceremony is in middle of October on a Monday, and they do such a great job down there with the ceremony. They have a press conference, and they recognize the winners, and then they play golf. And then that night at San Antonio Country Club, they have a wonderful dinner.
He may just break out and sing a song.
Yeah.
That's his hidden talent.
It is.
Yeah,
that's his 15th club.
That family is all about helping the game of golf.
And then in the final
in
category in the Texas Registry of Historic Golf Courses, Fort Worth Shady Oaks was named
very
to
nice.
That list, which is very, very apropos. Obviously, Hogan's Alley, where he hung his hat. Congrats to all of those.
North Texas represented very well.
Yes, congrats to all of those. And then the last one would be Houston Amateur Mike Booker, who played at the University of Houston, got in the amateur category.
Excellent. All right. As you look forward to the British Open, you haven't heard much about Woods. If you weren't here for the beginning of the show, we did tell you that he's been waking up for the last week at his home in Florida at 1 a.m. and staying up to get his body ready, because 1 a.m. on the East Coast is 6 a.m. at Royal Port Rush. So he is doing preparation. The other thing is, this golf course is described by PGA Tour pros as being, quote, short. So if it's short, then you can certainly see if his body will work. Tiger being able to do what he did last year. Remember last year, he almost maddeningly hit nothing but irons off the tees, hit them down the fairway. He was short. The guys he was playing with were hitting at 30 and 40 past him all week, and he sort of made his way around on Thursday and on Friday, and he hung in there, and on Saturday he actually got a lead, and he had a real chance to win, except for that little robot, what's his name, beat him.
Molinari.
Yeah, Francesco Molinari, just absolutely one straight perfect shot in after another, made every 8-footer he could. But you can see that scenario. The other is that Koepka, who is not even going to get there until tomorrow or the next day, he's Koepka.
He's hanging his hat on the caddy.
And he's got a caddy who literally grew up at Royal Portrush. Back to, he knows every bump on every green, every. That's a big deal for Koepka as well.
I'm going to discount Tiger's game plan at getting up at 1 o'clock every morning because I do that every morning with my dog, Oliver.
No.
Going
quickly,
out
your
there.
Favorite, yes. Courtney. Who's going to win?
I tell you what, I like John Rahm.
Brady.
Woods.
Ah, I love it. Adam Scott for me.
Nice. We so appreciate everybody being here. Taylor Phillips drags us through this show. We make mistakes. I forget things. I don't break at the right time. And just Taylor stands there and wakes me up and helps me out, plays the greatest music for us. And you've got to tune into his show, Saturday afternoon's Rangers Wrap Up. It is Taylor's time to start to shine on this station other than sitting behind the mic. So congratulations on that show. You're doing great.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for all of that. Saad Youssef was here earlier. Last week, Kevin Correa. We'll throw his name out as well. And we are always honored and pleased to be following the greatness of Mark Elfenbein. So every Sunday right here from 7 to 9, get up with Elf, right? You'll find out how the bacon's cooked. You'll find out everything you want to know about every sports story. And you'll even find out about the Houston Astros. And you don't give a damn yet. That segment is still good. The greatness of Elf, then on to the Pro Shop from 10 to 11 a.m. or 9 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN Radio, 103.3 FM.